And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about this one. I do mean Alabama, y'all. I'm saying this show goes way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, we're going to switch gears here momentarily through with Dipper number one on the Harris Doctrine. We're going to jump on some sports with JP momentarily, but let me just remind you guys. So one of our advertisers is Inspire Advisors. Inspire Advisors, they are epic cool at what they do. They are experts at what is known as biblically responsible investing. So you may be investing in your future, you know, checking, make sure your portfolio is actually getting a good return on your investment. And oh, by the way, you're the kind of people who also stand up for what you believe in. And you could be shocked to find out that without even knowing it, some of the companies you might be investing in are actually supporting things like abortion or pornography or other things you don't stand for. Well, Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors, they are there to meet with you for free, to give you an idea of what's in your portfolio and maybe give you some biblically aligned alternatives. Well, listen, all you got to do is just contact them. Ask for a free meeting. No upsell, no fuss, no muss. Go to their website, which is www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's moneypatternwealth.com. Or just too easy, go to our website, rightsidemedia.org. Click on the Right Side Radio sponsors and go to their logo. It takes you right to their website. Bottom line is this, y'all. Inspire Advisors. It is godly. It is conservative. It is, you know, financial freedom if you get down to it. Check them out. Inspire Advisors. All right, we're going to jump on some sports. Now, I'm loving doing this segment, by the way. It really, to me, it helps break things up because, you know, I just spent all that time talking about foreign policy doctrine, and I'm going to be talking about immigration later on with Senator Tuberville. But let's talk about stuff that I enjoy, except that being an Auburn fan is getting hard sometimes. We're going to bring in JP, who, by the way, works with Dale Jackson during the week. Also hosts his own show on Saturday mornings on 7:30 a.m., 103.9 The Ebb. And that show is called Off the Bench. So, JP, let's do some sports. How you doing, man?
Hey, doing good. How y'all doing this morning? Or afternoon, I guess. Afternoon.
It is indeed. Yeah, you're used to jumping on the air early in the morning.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's a bit of a difference, but yep.
Well, I'm glad you're awake for the afternoon. But hey, the bottom line is sports, dude. You have like blown us away with your ability to recite stats and know things. So we're going to brand this first section 3 and out, right?
Yep, 3 and out. We're going to go 3 and out real quick.
All right. Well, let's don't go too quick. We got a few minutes, but talk about this past weekend. Give us 3 and out. What are your top three?
Well, I have to start off with this one, Auburn dropping the game to Cal. And
come on!
You know, I got to get it out the way for you. Yeah, I listened to Colt Kubrick's analyst of this, and he had a good phrase. It's just kind of a weird one for Auburn to drop, and I agree. It was just kind of weird. And, you know, the two stats I would say cost Auburn this game were the 5 turnovers to Cal's 0.
Yeah.
And Cal had 11 more minutes of possession than Auburn. They were able to just drain the clock when they had the ball. And, you know, I've said this before, Auburn's offensive potential is based off of Peyton Thorne's ability to limit turnovers. And he had 4 interceptions in that game. And they were still in it, 21-14, even with those 4 turnovers. So that just tells you if he can just limit those turnovers, they can be in these games. But there are a lot of times where I feel like he just kind of panicked and looked for Cam Coleman, who is their best receiver right now. Yeah. He just panicked and looked for Cam, and Cam wasn't open, and there'd be other receivers open that he would miss because he was still locked in on Cam Coleman. So we'll have to see how Auburn goes with the quarterback position. I know they have a 4-star freshman, but apparently reporters are saying he didn't play so well in camp. So Peyton Thorne may be their best option, but if he can just limit the turnovers, I think Auburn should be fine.
Okay, so let me touch on that, because I mean, I think you're right. I think there's like at one point in the third quarter, Auburn's defense had been on the field for 9 straight minutes or something like that. I mean, it was like, yeah, it was unreal how much playing time the defense was having over our offense, but which is never good. But that being said, Peyton Thorne, do you see a point where we're going to have to say, okay, we got to pull him, we got to switch out? I mean, when does that happen? Halfway through the next game, or do we get the whole game?
It's too early to tell with the second game. I think if, you know, they got New Mexico this week, so I think they're going to use this week to try to build back up his confidence. But if they start getting into SEC play and he's still struggling, then I think they're going to have to look to change things up. But, you know, like I said, I think their number two backup is their four-star freshman, who apparently didn't play as well during camp as they would have thought. But I think Peyton Thorne can be fine. Like I said, the offensive line did not play well, so I think he was panicking, trying to throw, you know, forced passes, which if they can build up his confidence against New Mexico going forward, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, but the line had better get its game on because the reality is the other teams are going to see that he panics, and so he's going to have to he's going to have to get his head straight, but the line's going to have to do their job too, or it's going to be for naught.
Yeah.
All right, so three and out. There's number one. What's your next?
Well, if you went to Auburn, I got to talk about Alabama struggling against USF. You know, the score was very deceiving. It was 42-16, but it was a lot closer than that. I think Alabama won the fourth quarter 28-0. But, you know, my main takeaway from this game was, first of all, Alabama's two best offensive linemen besides Tyler Booker were hurt in this game, Caden Proctor and Elijah Pritchett. So they had to start Flombe in this game, who was a freshman. And, you know, first of all, South Florida is not a bad team. They are a very good Group of Five team, and their defensive line is probably the best part of their team alongside their quarterback. So they were able to take advantage of Alabama's O-line being banged up, and Fromby had four pressures on the quarterback with four penalties, and one of those took back a big touchdown from Milroe. So, and if you look, when we went on the 28-0 run, they put Pritchett back in the game. He was hurt, but they told him, we got to have you play. And when he went back in the game, Alabama went up 28-0 on that run. So I think that shows you just how banged up the Alabama offensive line was and how much that affected the game. But I saw a lot of people giving Milroe some, you know, going after him. I didn't see Milroe have a bad game. You know, he missed a couple of throws, but overall he was struggling to even get a pass off with the O-line. So I think in the long run, Alabama has their offensive line, you know, back to full health. I think they'll be just fine because you saw when the O-line was, you know, they even got Pritchett back. They didn't even have the starting left tackle back, and they were able to come back, you know, 28-0. So I think they'll be fine in that sense. And South Florida, like I said, they're not bad. They're not a bad Group of Five team. They spread you out on offense. They go really, really fast. I think our defense was struggling with the pace of play, but they still only gave up 16 points to a good Group of Five team. So I think the main storyline is the offensive line being banged up. But if you look, you got to be encouraged when you get Elijah Pritchett back in the game when he's injured. How far they came back and made it 42-16. So just like I think Auburn will be fine in the long run, I think Alabama will be fine. A lot of people are panicking because, you know, USF, but
that's because anybody who's been an Alabama fan for less than 20 years does not understand what a hard season is. you guys win 42-16, and people are like, well, it's going to be a long season, man. I don't know if we can handle this. I mean, I'm like, come on.
Hey, let me talk to you about being an Auburn fan. This is the first season I remember without Saban. As a young Alabama fan, this is the first time I ever had to watch a game or season without Saban. So there's that for you. There's a lot of Bama fans out there who haven't experienced this.
It's going to be something. I think what's going to be as much fun to watch is the fan base as it is whether or not Alabama gets their game on the field. That's gonna be interesting. All right. So we're three and out. You got two down. What's your third?
Well, Northern Illinois went up into South Bend and beat number five Notre Dame, which was absolutely crazy. You know, I started to drink the Kool-Aid with Notre Dame because they looked really, really good going into Texas A&M week one and beating a good Texas A&M team. And it looked like they didn't even practice against Northern Illinois. It was like they overlooked them completely.
Yes.
You know, Riley Leonard did not have a very good game. They both had one turnover each, but they, you know, Notre Dame was just not able to convert on third down. And, you know, gutsy field goal for Northern Illinois to make to tie it, or excuse me, to go ahead and take the lead. And then they blocked Notre Dame field goal. So, you know, it was a gutsy win for Northern Illinois. It's the first time they've ever beat a top 10 opponent. And they bumped up to number 25 in the AP poll this week. So
yeah,
fun times over in Northern Illinois.
I love me a Cinderella story. I think America loves a Cinderella story. And, you know, Notre Dame is a legacy team. Rudy, you can just, you know, you can picture the days of, you know, Newt Rockne and all of it. But still, this was like an epic upset. And I'm wondering, so how does Notre Dame recover from this? And where do they go in the polls next?
I'll have to look at who they play next. I don't have the top of my head, but you know, Notre Dame is a talented team. They did not, you know, how they played against Northern Illinois is not, you know, their potential. And the beauty of the 12-team playoff is one loss, you're not out of it yet. So if they can just make that be their one fluke of the season, then, you know, I don't think they have a terribly hard schedule going forward. But, you know, they just kind of have to draw this one up as a fluke, move on. And I think, you know, like I said, with a 12-team playoff, a one-loss Notre Dame will get into that. So if they're just able to shake this one off and move forward, I think they'll be okay.
All right, so your big three and out for this week, the three worth talking about were the Auburn game, yay, the Alabama game, whatever, and then the Northern Illinois beating Notre Dame. I like it. Okay. All right, three and out. We're done with three and out, so we're going to take a break right now. Big Rig, move us to the break, brother. We got JP on sports, who, by the way, happens to host the Saturday morning show Off the Bench on 103.9 FM, The Ump out of Huntsville. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense a superpower. All right, we're in, we're breaking things up a little bit. We got Monday afternoon, JP on sports, and we're going, we just did three and out. JP, so now we're going to go into a section we call the two-minute warning, right?
Yep, that's correct.
All right, so here's what I'm going to do to you, though. I've got Big Rig sitting here with a button. He's got a buzzer sound. So we're going to go two-minute warning, and when you hit 2 minutes, we're going to buzz you, all right?
All right.
You didn't know that was coming, did you?
I did not.
All right, so two-minute warning. Take it. What do you got?
Well, first, yeah, I mentioned this game last week, but Alabama goes to Wisconsin this week. And I think this is going to be the telltale of how you know, this divorce season is going to go. And I said this before the season. Not enough people are talking about this Wisconsin game. We're going to really see how this season under DeBoer is going to go from this Wisconsin game, because, you know, it's on the road in the Big Ten. Wisconsin is a very underrated place to play, hard atmosphere to play at. And, you know, like I said, with last week, or excuse me, like 2 days ago, you know, they struggled against USF. So they really need to come back and have a good outing against Wisconsin this week. And let's see if Alabama can get their offensive line back to full health. If they can, I think they'll be all right in this game. But this is going to be the telltale, because they got Georgia coming up after that game. So they really need to buckle down and start, you know, playing to their best games starting right now. This is not a cupcake league into Georgia, so they really need to go into Wisconsin and put on a good outing.
You know, the interesting thing is Wisconsin is one of our swing states politically, too. So what do we do with that? Here we got Wisconsin's politically a swing state, and apparently now you're calling it a swing state for sports. So so we'll see. All right, you didn't. I noticed you talked faster when you knew there was a buzzer coming. Did you notice that?
I'm prepared.
All right, you did not hit it all the way to the buzzer on that one. Are you going to keep going with it, or you got a new one?
Yeah, I got you. So we got Auburn playing New Mexico, and, you know, I talked a little bit about this earlier. This really needs to be the game where they rebuild Peyton Thorne's confidence. Peyton Thorne, if he can come into the New Mexico game and put on a good outing, this needs to be a build-up game for Auburn. New Mexico, not as good as Cal coming in, but also, you know, New Mexico State came in last year and gave Auburn a good game. So different team, but same group of five, you know, level opponent. They really need to build up Peyton Thorne, build up the confidence of Auburn before they start rolling into conference play. So, you know, this is a really important game, because I don't think they're going to go to the backup in this game. They need to use this game to, you know, build up Peyton Thorne's confidence, you know, make sure he can progress through the offense and put last week behind them. They need to have a good outing this week to put that really bad Cal game out of their memory, so they can move forward with boosted confidence. So this is a really, I mean, they may not look like an important game, New Mexico, but coming off of that Cal loss, it is an important game for them.
Okay. Listen, so far you have avoided the buzzer. 2 minute warning. You are right now tracking pretty well. You going to stay on that one, or are you moving forward?
We can move forward. I know there's a good game in the SEC this week. LSU playing South Carolina. South Carolina looked really good against Kentucky last week. They looked really bad in their home opener against Old Dominion. They got to play LSU this week. They had a really good outing against Kentucky. When Kentucky looked like the better team going into the game, I actually picked Kentucky to win. But South Carolina looked a lot better in week two. And LSU, you know, they struggled with that loss against USC, so they're looking to get rolling. But this is not an easy game to play. I believe it's in South Carolina. And so this is not an easy game for LSU to get rolling again. But South Carolina, if they can pick up a win against LSU, they may be a sleeper team in the SEC, even with how bad they looked against Old Dominion. So that's a little SEC sleeper game to keep an eye on, LSU versus South Carolina this week.
Anybody who looked bad against Old Dominion, should not be given much credit going forward. I mean, it's like, but then again, I guess look at Notre Dame. So what do we say? Okay. All right. So far, you have slid in under the buzzer on all three of those games. What else you got?
Wow. Look at that. I didn't even know that was coming.
All right. I'll tell you what. You can't get away without talking about Texas. I mean, come on. Texas.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I can't say I am surprised, honestly. I've known from the get-go of the season that Michigan was pretty overrated. They had a big bump after, you know, winning the national championship, but they just don't have the playmakers that return from that team. New coach, Sharon Moore, Jim Harbaugh is gone, and I'm really high on Texas. This Texas team is really good. Going into Ann Arbor, with, you know, no matter how good Michigan is, that's not an easy game, and they came in, handled business, stomped them out. I believe it was 31-10 or something was the final score. I stopped watching after but you know, Quinn Ewers looks very, very good. He's going to be in the Heisman running for sure. One of the best quarterbacks in the SEC. And you know, that game and Georgia and Austin are their only two ranked games so far this season.
Yeah, they got
so
a light schedule.
How easy their schedule is.
Yeah,
I know. And
for a powerhouse team, they're getting off easy.
No, if they got past the first one like that, then they could finish, you know, 11-1. So in that case, look out for Texas to win the national championship, be one of the four byes in the playoffs. And I know SEC fans, the old time SEC fans, the traditional SEC fans aren't going to be happy to hear this, but I think they're probably going to win the SEC, especially with that with that schedule. You know, they have a good shot at competing against Georgia.
Okay, so you maligned me because you said old time SEC, then you quickly corrected yourself to traditional, and then you went ahead and said Texas is going to win the SEC. This is,
well, you know, I said old time at first, and then I thought back, I probably fall in that category. So you know, I would call it traditional. That aren't happy to see Texas come over and win the SEC in their first year, but I expect.
Oh, you hit the 2 minute buzzer on that one. You hit the 2 minute buzzer on that one. All right, brother. Well, listen, what else you got? You got anything for us to close out, or are you good?
That's it for me. You know, this is kind of the last week before you start getting into conference play, so there's some little sleeper games to keep an eye on. You know, Alabama, Wisconsin, like I said, Auburn, New Mexico. So make sure to keep an eye on those games and start rolling to the SEC play next week.
All right, so let me ask you one quick question on your way out the door. What do you think of the new SEC?
I was against it at first. But I'm starting to come around to it. It's not as bad as the other conferences that are expanding big time, and like the Big Ten taking teams from the West Coast, the ACC taking teams from the West Coast. Like you have to change the name from the Atlantic Coast Conference if you got teams in California playing.
No doubt. I mean, you're flying across four time zones to play a game. My gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at least the SEC, they got Texas and Oklahoma, where it kind of makes sense. So it's kind of growing on me. At first, I didn't like it, but I think it's better for the SEC because we got teams like Texas now in your conference. It helps bolster the SEC even more with all the other conferences growing. So I'm starting to come around to it. I don't know how I feel about Texas being the SEC champion favorite yet, but as I guess that's where we are now.
All right. Hit it. 2 minute warning is up. All right. All right, JP, we'll talk to you again soon, man. And thanks so much. That's JP, who works with Dale Jackson in the mornings, but he also, by the way, hosts his own show Off the Bench on Saturday mornings on 103.9 The Ump. You can find him Saturday mornings talking all things sports. And I just enjoy breaking things up. That is good. All right. Listen, we're taking a break. We're coming right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Senator Tommy Tuberville coming up next.